It's Tuesday, January 2nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Happy New Year, everyone. Aloha. We got a great show for you today. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and I'm coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. Well, Happy New Year, everyone, and I hope that everyone has gotten safe back to their home of residence and have settled in and gotten ready to start cranking up for the new year. I know that I am in full swing and looking forward to 2007, and I hope you are as well. Well, I tell you, it's been a very interesting weekend here. It's been a long weekend, actually, and I actually don't have to go back to work until Wednesday. And I work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then I fly out Friday evening for Vegas. So I'm pretty excited, of course. Matter of fact, I've got about 50% of my packing done, so I'm a little bit ahead of schedule on all that. But when my wife's mother was getting ready to leave, my wife kind of was down in the dumps a little bit, and she was, you know, talking about how she missed her dad because her dad hadn't came out with her mother. And so it went on about a day or so, and she says, "Would you mind if I went to Okinawa?" And I was like, "Well, I guess I don't have a problem with it." So she loaded up the kids and jumped on an airplane, and they left for Okinawa, believe it or not, New Year's Eve. And they arrived there actually very late in the day on January 1st with a day change. And she's pretty happy. She's going to spend, I guess, about 10 days out there and going to visit with family. And it was just kind of one of those spur-of-the-moment type of deals, and fortunate we were able to do that. But, yeah, I'm here alone, and it's late. And I'm thinking, some of you are thinking, well, why are you recording so late when your wife's not home? What have you been doing? Well, you know, with getting ready to go to CES, I've had to get all my college homework pushed ahead. So I've had to do a couple of weeks of advance work. Plus, I've got some term papers due. And I got to counting out days, and I was like, oh my goodness, when I get back, I only have a week left before term papers are due. And then with two papers having to be turned in, I spent essentially about 15 hours today just working on homework, getting a source material ready for term papers. It really doesn't take me too long to put a term paper together. A typical 10-page paper probably would take me 3 or 4 hours. I got pretty good at putting stuff together when I published my book last year, actually in 2005. And boy, time is flying. And so it's term papers are really not an issue with me. But anyway, I'm glad that she's enjoying herself, and I was able to get caught up here, and got some great news for you tonight to talk about on the tech side of the house. Just wanted to give you a little update, though. My sister's daughter did get checked out of the hospital semi-permanently, so she's now at home. They're going to be doing physical therapy there in the southern Michigan area, so it's real good to have her in the house on a consistent basis. The some additional things I did yesterday, including getting things cleaned up around here. You know, essentially, New Year's is kind of the time, especially in the Japanese households, where you have everything has to be spick and span. So she got almost 90% of it done. She asked me if I could do a couple of things for her, and I took care of that. But I ran some upgrades on the blog, and there's the blog has been updated to movable type version 3.3. And my developer continues to work on the new skin. I've signed off on the new skin. I've sent that around to 4 or 5 people that have asked to do a pre-look on it. And everyone's given me the thumbs up on it. And some people that I really trust and on their opinions, they have said it looks great. So I'm looking forward to that skin being done very, very soon He's working in a test environment on the website. But I tell you, I had kind of an interesting time with the upgrade of movable type to version 3.33. Now, as you all remember, I had talked about switching to WordPress. And part of the reason I did not was because, number one, the multi-blog capability of movable type, along with some other features that I had built into my current system that just could not be replicated or duplicated within a WordPress environment. But one thing I had been running was kind of I was tricking the system into having tags. And that was going on, I guess, for like 14 or 15 months that I was using that hack. And that turned out to be a big, big mistake because it just totally had my category areas within movable type just a mess. Essentially, I went from instead of having like 750 or 800 different tags, I ended up with, in its own database table, I ended up with like 800 category entries. So I had to go through and get those sorted and deleted and moved and postings edited. So it took me quite a while to get that squared away, but now everything is up on running on Mobile Type 3.33. And it brings up a new quandary for me because with the upgrade, they actually have a tags column within the entry fields that you, when you do online postings with Mobile Type. But I don't do a lot of online posting. Most of my stuff is done with a desktop editor. And in the past, I've used BlogJet. There's a number of different editors that I've played around with, and I primarily have settled on BlogJet as my primary desktop-based web-based editing tool, or actually not blog editing tool. But that application, nor do any of the other ones that I have found, actually support the embedded tags with that Mobile Type has. Now, most of these external blogging editors will allow you to put like a Delicious or a Technorati tag within the body of the post. But what Mobile Type has done is actually make that a separate section that's called by one of their template calls, which also allows you to have, as you'll see on the website, you'll see there's a new listing. It says tags, and then the listings for the tags. And those actually come from a database subset. So there's really no way, if I'm doing a blog post from one of these external editors, to add those tags. And I specifically made some changes to the templates to incorporate that. And my hack that I was using before kind of worked around that a little bit, but just was not practical to continue using that the way it was initially set up. So does anybody know of any of those external editors that will support the new mobile type tags that they have and actually being able to get those into the database, not actually on a web blog post? Love to hear from someone if you know of one. I've actually sent out an email cry, a plea out to the BlogJet author who is getting ready to release a new version of BlogJet saying, hey, make sure that you get this supported in the new version. Only time will tell if that actually happens, of course. Now, I have gotten a couple of emails from some folks saying, hey, Todd, I haven't seen you in Second Life. Where you been? And be honest with you, I haven't logged into Second Life in probably been 6 weeks or more. And if I get some spare CPU cycles, maybe I'll get over there and get in. But I just have not. You know, that's one thing about Second Life. It can be a second life. In other words, if you don't have time for it, you just don't deal with it. But, you know, with everything else going on, that's definitely on the back burner. Fighting a little bit of a runny nose tonight, so I apologize. Hopefully it's not a head cold coming down. I've been popping vitamin C and extra vitamins to deal with it. But I think tonight's shows, I think you guys are going to like it. There's actually for being putting this together the evening of January 1st, I didn't know what to expect in the amount of actual articles I'd find tonight, but I actually found some good stuff. And we'll get into that here in a second. But first of all, let's take care of a little business. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, enter the code TODD, T-O-D-D, when you check out and save an additional 10% on your order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. I've been working with the folks over there. We're getting ready to add a couple more servers to the our server farm for Raw Voice, and we're trying to ensure that all those servers that we're putting into, actually adding, are going to be within the same data center so that we get good transfer speeds between them, or hopefully within the same switch. And the folks over there have been real receptive to working with us. And I tell you what, if you are looking for any special unique needs, any type of hosting issues you've got, let me know. Got the insights track to talk to people over there. Be more than willing, of course, to help you out. All right, of course, we're going to be getting ready to do another roundtable, and we haven't got the exact date yet for it. Probably be in a couple of weeks. I would assume after Annie and I get back from the Consumer Electronics Show, we'll probably be doing that. But these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with family or friends, email and voicemail sometimes just aren't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. The ability to host online meetings is an absolute must for today's business. With GoToMeeting, it's just like you're all in the same room. Unlimited meetings for one flat rate means you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it for free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. Hey, I got an email from one of the listeners. Don't normally cover this in the show. I don't like to go beyond the scripted time on these ad spots. But one of the listeners asked, what was the difference between GoToMeeting and Skype? Well, Skype is you can chat online with it. You can talk back and forth via voice IP application. That's great for communications. What GoToMeeting actually does is you share your desktop, and people that are in the meeting can actually see what's on your desktop. If you're either showing stuff on your through a program, or demonstrating another website, or running video, whatever it may be, they see what you see. That's the difference with GoToMeeting, which Skype does not have, obviously. So it's an actual virtual meeting room. So that's where that falls in that. Enough on that. Okay, let's kick right into the content tonight. This is kind of a fun thing to do. Start off, there was a website that was making the rounds. It's called thesuperheroquiz.com at www.thesuperheroquiz.com. And you go through and answer about 30 questions, and it comes up with the type of superhero you are. Now, I didn't know what to expect out of this, but my results are you are Iron Man. So you all go and check it out. I didn't put I actually had to put the posting up on the link blog or something, but through my questions I answered, it said you are Iron Man. With 80% in the percentile, Superman came in second at 60%. Now, a long-running joke among some of my friends and some of my coworkers before, they've always, when I was on the road, called me Superman. Now, that kind of goes back from some jokes that were made long, long time ago. But I thought it was kind of funny that it came in number two. I was hoping it would come up number one, because if it did, I was going to send that off to my buddy Eric, and who's overseas at this current time. He'd got a good laugh out of it. Maybe I have to work it and manipulate it somehow and send him a false link just so that get a chuckle out of him. But let me know what you guys are, and find out where you fall in the superhero category. All right, any of you bloggers that are going out to the Consumer Electronics Show, there's a blogger reception at CES. And the folks that are sponsoring that, I believe, who are actually doing this? This is it's the group that's actually working with the CEA to get bloggers' press credentials. If you haven't got your press credentials already, it's probably too late. Although, if you need help doing that, I might be able to do that as well. It's by the folks at blogbusinesssummit.com. Link will be up in the show notes, but it's csbloggers.com is the actual link to their website where they've got this at. All right, those of you that are MacBook Pro users and that have purchased the Core 2 Duos, are you having shutdown problems? Lots of stuff on the internet right now talking about individuals that have problem with their MacBook Pros shutting down on them and doing all kinds of funky stuff. Have you been running into this type of problem? If you have, go over to MacBookRandomShutdown.com. There's a lot of conversation about this. And I don't have a Ducoro book, so I don't have that issue with my MacBook Pro. So far, I've been a pretty sweet machine. I haven't had any issues with it. So feel sorry for those that spend that kind of money that end up with those types of issues. Hopefully, Apple gets on the ball and gets them fixed. I know that what clued me in on this was Robert Scoble's son apparently had this issue and has sent his MacBook in for repair, and he's not real happy about that. But, you know, that's what happens, you know, when you're pushing all kinds of updates out as fast as they have, it's bound to happen. And there's been some discussion about quality on some of their products dropping. But again, any manufacturer that has any types of errors, they get any type of or defects, they get a lot of exposure today on blogs as well. And of course, Apple's been open to a considerable criticism over the last couple of days. We'll talk a little bit more about that as well. A real interesting article on AaronSW.com, and this is from Aaron Schwartz. He thinks that it would be a great idea if the Google folks made a free Gmail clone, and I think I have to agree with him. You know, a lot of you use Gmail online, and it's a great service. Don't get me wrong. The web-based mail, it's the best out there in my consideration. But what's happening is, and this is what happens with me, is many times I'm not online. You know, I'm in a place where I don't have connectivity, or I want to work offline and I can't. That's why I download all of my Gmail into Outlook, and actually work within it, because I can, no matter where I'm at, if I have connectivity or not, I'm able to utilize Outlook in an offline mode. He thinks that Google should make an application. I'm yawning here. That Google should make an application that would run on your desktop, that would mimic Gmail, that would do this kind of the same things as Outlook does, but in a desktop mode. I think that's pretty cool. I think it's a pretty good idea on his part. Now, he's got a couple other things here. He's got a nice OS X Tor interface. He's talked about this before. I don't know too much about that. He's looking for some decent backup software as well. You know, that's something I'm kind of on the hunt for, too. I've used a method here for backing up data for a long time that is probably nearing a point where I need to start looking at some different ways of doing it. Every once in a while, you really need to take a look at some of the core things you do and make sure that the process you have set up is going to be, you're not going to end up with how do I want to describe this? You want something that's going to be dead on every time, surefire, works. You'll have no doubts about the backup. And it's just because I had came in here. There's a script that runs like at 3 o'clock in the morning that drops files onto a backup. There was an error in the actual application. First time I've seen that happen. But it got me to looking a lot closer to my backups to ensure that everything on there that is on there that was. But when I'm getting into a multiple machine situation where my wife is running a laptop and she's downstairs doing stuff on that, and I very rarely take a look at what's going on there, along with the kids having their own desktop and putting stuff on it. What are you guys doing for multi machine backups? What are you guys coming up with a solution for that? Anyone do anything unique out there? I'd love to hear from you for sure. All right, Engadget's got an article that talks about the MSI's Mega Player 529. And this is pretty cool. With Vista coming, you're now going to be able to run some auxiliary, just little like mini monitors. And this using a product that's within Vista called Slideshow. It let users take advantage of secondary displays to utilize widgets, media players, and other random, but I'm sure to become necessary widgets. And what's going on here is that this company has released a very cool little add-on. It's called, actually, it's what it is, the Mega Player 529. Don't know what the price on it is. But I've always, you know, there's been times where you're running a little app And you wish you could, you know, instead of having that in a background, you wish it could be in a foreground, but it's small enough that you don't necessarily want running on a full monitor, on a secondary monitor. I think this is going to be huge. I really, really do. And I can imagine even for desktop users or laptop users, with these it would attach above a screen so that it would attach to your LCD on the side, or this one mounts into the keyboard. A very, very cool idea. And we're, especially it's a little touch screen. You can just reach it and put your finger on it and change the selection. I think pretty powerful stuff. I really, really think it is. And that, what it allows you to do, instead of having to change windows all the time, if you've got some of these, like these little mini applications that you're monitoring, like if you don't want to, how many times a day do you find yourself being in a browser or being in a Word document and then bringing Outlook to the foreground and look and say, oh, no new email. And then switching it back. Or, you know, a lot of times I look for the little icon down in the taskbar, but it would be nice to, you know, if you see that little icon down in the taskbar, just be able to glance on that little screen to see who it's from to determine whether or not you need to take action on it. So I think this is going to be big. And I know that if I upgrade a machine to Vista, one of these little mini mega players, as they're calling them, is going to definitely be on my purchase list. I can see a lot of functionality on that, and I think you will too once you see it and get an idea of what it's going to bring to increase your productivity and so forth. All right, sadly, the FCC has approved the $87 billion AT&T Bell South merger, and, you know, didn't we learn back in 1984 the reason for the breakup? Didn't we understand that the government, when they split up the AT&T into Baby Bells, that, you know, it's just, you know, this is just like a, to me, and I look at this, it brings back a lot of memories. It really, really does. Because when they broke up AT&T, that opened up competition for long distance. That's when Sprint, it's when MCI came on the scene. And was able to compete with AT&T on a long-distance basis. Those of you that were around and had telephone service at the time, remember the Dial 1 wars where you had to choose a Dial 1 carrier. You know, and they don't understand the full reasonings behind the breakup in the past anyway. And here we are. Here we are again. We've got a big, huge AT&T again. So now, you know, AT&T was... it's just, it took over a huge area, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Kentucky, where else? Tennessee. Just, you know, huge area that they've taken over. Now, AT&T also has got Southwestern Bell. You know, it's just, it's amazing. It really, really is. And I don't know. Some of you have written me and said, oh, don't worry about it, Todd. It's no big deal. But, you know, the lack of competition, I think, is not good. So now the singular brand is eventually going to die and become AT&T Wireless. And AT&T has agreed to maintain net neutrality for up to 2 years after that. We'll have to see what happens. AT&T has agreed to sell Naked DSL for $20 a month as a standard package, which is probably good for consumers. AT&T is likely to also strive for more aggressive triple or quadruple play packages as it rolls out its U-verse-based IPTV. And this is coming off of Engadget. So, you know, this is where you're going to get TV, DSL, and a phone all in one package, and even cell phone service underneath the AT&T brand. And the Baby Bell remnant still competing with AT&T in one vertical or another. So we'll have to see what happens here with this. But in my opinion, this is was a bad decision by the FCC. I wish it would not have went through, but it's a sign of the times. All right, a little news on the Zune front, and this could change the marketplace just a little bit, and it's something that a lot of people have been complaining about. It appears there's been some sort of an update, possibly pushed to Windows Media Player 11, which allows integration of the Zune library to be played on Windows Media Player 11. So in other words, anything you download into the Zune is automatically going to get updated in WMP 11. There's also, let's see what else, there's a couple of other things that they've seen there. Now, this does not mean that you're going to be able to, the music you bought off Zune, that has been synchronized into Windows Media Player 11. They're saying so far that you're not going to be able to synchronize the Windows Media Player 11 Zune playlist or Zune titles with a different device. Now, if they would open that up where you could buy stuff off the Zune marketplace, have it on the Zune, and also on another MP3 player, man, that's big. That would be really, really big. And I think that would be a significant, that would help change some of this negativity that is being seen by so many folks on the Zune. So we're going to see if there's going to get any more validation on this tomorrow when Microsoft comes back to work. But this came off of a Microsoft Watch, and I'll put a link up to it in the show notes. All right, a lot of great stuff off of Robin Good's website. I'm linking to two articles tonight, New Media Tools of the Week, Sherwood Picnic number 85. And he's got some information about video sharing, video playlists, video encoding, project management, web calendaring, desktop publishing, online pools, file sharing, visual search engine, and a wiki creator. I'm not going to go into the actual tools. You guys can check that out yourself. But he's got a great article that he posted today that talks about online video tools and internet television trends, the best of 2006. Now, if nothing else, this is an article to go look at that is just full of links of websites that I have, a lot of these I've never seen. Okay, let me read through some of these. Magnify, StashSpace.com, Dovetail, Gooba, Zitto, MyWaves.com, VodPod, WeWin.com, Open News Archive, Zudo, Smart Video Channel, Flix with a Z, Zippy Videos, Flixia, DropShot, CubeBreak, BlogCheese, CastPost, SelfCast.tv, VOTag, just goes on and on and on and on. And I'm only reading maybe a fifth of the links he's got up here. These are all video-related sites. Now, I spent some time, what day was it? I think on Thursday, and I was looking at the site that I had published all of my videos to, and I'm publishing right now to YouTube, to Netscape, to Rever, to Meta Cafe, to Live Video. And I'm also cross-posting on popcurrent.com. So before I head off to CES, what are you guys using? What is your, and besides YouTube, what is the video site you're going to the most? Because those are the primaries. Also, Google Video as well. I didn't have that one on there in this actual drop-down. So I'm going to YouTube, Rever, Meta Cafe, Netscape, Live Video, and Google Video. What are the other ones you guys visit? What is one that you're really... you're really psyched about, that you really like? Love to hear from you so that I know where else to post our CES video coverage, trying to get as much exposure to that as possible. And I tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to have a little bit of a promotion going on during the week of CES. And this is for those of you that are blogging out there. We're going to really, anyone that links to our coverage from external blogs, we're going to take care of. We're going to hook you up. We're going to get some prizes going. So talk a little bit about more about that on the next show. But help us spread that content virally. Really want to help get the word out on this. And kind of, this is what we're trying to do. We're really trying to show how this model really works and how it can reach a lot of people. So as much help as you can give us during CES would definitely be appreciated. All right, the Wall Street Journal. He's got an article about what's going on over at Apple, and with them announcing an $88 million adjustment to some previous earnings and taking a hit here, and along with the security commissions taking a look at what's going on inside of Apple and their accounting practices, it looks to me, even though Apple has said that there is no, you know, that Steve Jobs is not being implicated in this, Wall Street Journal is kind of picking away at that, saying that that Steve Jobs helped pick the favorable dates for the option grants. So these are the option grants that would be given to board members or some sort of executives that were there, which allowed them to get a bigger bang for their bonus by having the stock being the date that the actual option was granted, when the stock was at a high in price. So we'll have to see what goes, what happens here. But we know with Steve Jobs having gotten his own lawyer, it is definitely suspicious, even based upon what Apple was saying, that he is not, he does not at all been implicated, or actually has, you know, he's not going to be the focus of anything. You just wonder, though, with him getting his own lawyer. But very interesting story on the Wall Street Journal. I don't, I'm not at all a specialist in any of this type of in area. I'm not an investment type of guy. I don't know all about these security commission rules and what you can and can't do. But, you know, falsifying documents definitely is one of those things that makes anybody's eyebrows raise, no matter what the subject, whether it's financial or not. So we'll see what happens here, and we'll keep track of this. This is obviously going to be probably pretty big news during Macworld as well, or a lot of talk about it. All right, there's a website out there I was not familiar with before. It's at web2.wsj2.com. It's called the SOA Web Services Journal. And it's kind of a Web 2.0 type of journal, and he's got a list up here, the best of Web 2.0 software of 2006. And I don't know if he wants, why is he calling this software? Because MySpace is not software. MySpace is a website, but he's got links up to a variety of different Web 2.0 sites. Many of them you're probably familiar with, some of them you may not be. So you guys can take a jump over here and take a look at his list as well. All right, next up is probably what I consider the story of the day. And, you know, I never amazed at how companies will do such stupid things that it just causes consumers and techs all kinds of just nightmares in installing operating systems and getting drivers set up. You know, we're in this day and age where this, you know, this hardware is supposed to be, you know, it's plug and play. You're supposed to be able to stick a Windows disk in a machine, and when you install Windows, it's supposed to be smart enough to recognize all those drivers and do all that stuff for us, so we don't have to go through the setup sheer madness that used to happen back in Windows 98 days. And, you know, just, you know, the things are supposed to be simpler today, right? Well, I'm sure many of you have bought a computer recently, or maybe even got one for Christmas, and when you got it, you open the box up, you know, you set the computer up, and you probably weren't paying too much attention to the disk that they provide you. You know, you get a little plastic bag full of disk. But if you go digging around in that plastic bag, most of you will find out that there is no Windows install disk. There just isn't one in there. They don't give you one no more. A lot of times what they'll do is they'll prompt you to make a disk when you boot the machine up and get it set up. They'll burn a disk, some sort of a backup disk that you'll be able to keep for your repository in order to rebuild its system. And part of that is the reason they do that is Microsoft is trying to save money, and they have asked these manufacturers not to send disk with these bundled computers. Now, if you want to lose a customer, this is what you do. You make it so difficult for them, once they get a new computer, that they cannot stick another card in it. They can't put new hard drives in it. That they can't get drivers installed because the software is so ridiculously locked down that it doesn't allow you to bypass the normal boot up routines. All I can say is Microsoft has done a great disservice in some of these bundling deals with some of these new machines, especially some of these HP machines that are coming out. And this is a prime example here of how the vendors are making it very, very difficult for techs. And all I can say is this guy got so frustrated with what he was trying to do, and this is quite simply what he had. He had four computers. One, he was making a file server. All he wanted to do was pull the 40-gig drive that was in the machine that came with it out of it, putting in two 200-gig drives along with this promised RAID card, a RAID controller, and rebuild the machine. All right? Ultimately, he could not do it. All right? Everything he tried to do and all the workarounds he tried to work around, it was impossible. He was unable to reinstall Windows on that machine without having to go buy another copy of Windows, even though he legally, brand new machine. So he said, the heck with it, and what he did is he installed Linux on the machine. Check this article out. I think those of you that are techs, those of you that are geeks that have reinstalled Windows even once, will kind of get the crux of the article. But I think Microsoft really needs to step back and take a look at what they're doing here. If this article doesn't hit at home, nothing will. And essentially what they have done here is, even though the guy paid for the software, actually what I would do if I was that guy that's now running Linux on this machine is I would call, well, actually probably had to accept an initial boot up. You know, you can, if you work real hard, get your money back if you choose not to accept the licensing from a computer that comes pre-installed with Windows. There's a way to get your money back on most installs. But, you know, this Windows screw-up forces this guy to make a shift to Linux on one specific computer. So I doubt Microsoft's going to get the get a clue on this, but it should make all these companies that create drivers and stuff to wake up as well. All right, enough on that. Link will be up in the show notes, and I think you'll find it a good read. All right, today I want to give a shout-out to one of our listeners down in Australia. He's got a blog that is called Knowledge is Everywhere, and he does a podcast as well as reading through his blog, and he had been mentioning a number of people that were in the podcasting space, and I do appreciate the vote of confidence there on being a listener, and, of course, appreciation on the little note as well. I thanks for that, and I'll put a link up to his site in the podcast, or actually in the show notes, so check that out tonight as well. All right, there's a lady out in Colorado, you know, lots of snow out there. Well, she's selling snow on eBay. So if how much snow you want, you can make a bid on eBay and she'll ship it out to you. How is she going to be, buy dry ice, and how is she going to keep it so that it stays nice and fluffy? Nothing like selling water, right? Okay. On the science front, the NASA Mars team, as they're teaching the rovers some new tricks to kick off year four. Can you believe that? We are on getting ready to hit year four. January 3rd will be Spirit's fourth birthday on Mars. And on January 24th, Opportunity will have its fourth year birthday as well. Both the rovers are still doing well. They are collecting data, sending back pictures. And on the 24th of January, actually, when are they going to push the software here? Have they done it already? Well, what this new software is going to do is, you know, they've got these rovers on the lookout for dust devils. So they've got the software snapping images and collecting it and putting it in a database there, but they don't want to waste all this satellite time sending back hundreds and thousands of images if they don't have any of these dust devils in them. So they've taught the rover some new tricks here, I guess, and the software now is going to be able to recognize dust devils, and it's going to be able to single those pictures out and send them back. So very, very cool on that part. Apparently, here's some statistics on the rovers themselves. Spirit and Opportunity have worked on Mars for nearly 12 times as long as the original planned prime mission of 90 Martian days. Spirit has driven about 6.9 kilometers or 4.3 miles. Opportunity has driven about 9.8 kilometers or 6.1 miles. Spirit has returned more than 88,500 images, Opportunity more than 80,700 images, and all the raw images available online at marsrover.jpl.nasa.gov/gallery/all. Currently, Spirit is investigating rocks and soils near a ridge where it's keeping its solar panels tilted towards the sun during the Martian winter, and Opportunity is exploring a Victoria crater. And they're going to be going down in Victoria Crater, but they're looking at the edge right now, trying to find the best way down. So lots of cool science still going on with the rovers. Talk about getting our money's worth. Now, the question is, 4 years. Think about that. 4 years out there in a pretty harsh environment. And let's knock on wood here. The old hard drives and the operating system. How many of you could keep your computers running for 4 years? Oh, gosh. Now, I know those rovers have a very bare-bones system, and obviously they're working very well. They had a few hiccups in the beginning, but if you remember back, they did some remote fixes, and what a way to have to do send a patch. You know, think about it. You're patching your machines, and when you guys do Microsoft updates, or when you're on an Apple machine and you do software updates, you know, you always waited with bated breath. You're watching machines doing their updates, and you're hoping that nothing bad happens, and usually it goes well. But imagine having to do those types of patches all the way to Mars. Would that just about make you have white knuckles, or what? All right, there's a new security software offering out there called DieHard. And DieHard prevents crashes and hackers' attempts by focusing on memory. Now, you know, back when it was expensive to buy RAM, and when you had to really watch the amount of RAM that was being used in your computer, programmers were pretty conscientious of that, and they would optimize their programs to be very careful with the amount of RAM that they take. Now, today, I think my laptop has a gig of RAM. I knew my desktop down here that I do my podcast on, it has a couple of gigs of RAM in it. My wife's laptop, I think, has a gig. You know, there's, you know, most of these machines today, if you don't have 512 megs, you've at least got a gig of RAM. You know, many people do. And so today's computers have more than 2,000 times as much memory as machines of yesteryear. And, of course, programmers are still writing code as if memory is in short supply, which I think still is good. But what this DieHard does is the application is actually setting up in memory, and it's taking resident applications that are up in there, and it's duplicating them, and it's comparing them as they are read and written, and they're actually looking at that data so that if a Trojan's out there and it tries to reach out and make a change to something, it actually will detect a difference. So this is where the application it comes in, kind of, it's sniffing the memory stream of your computer. So it's very unique in what it's doing, and you can download it for free, and it runs under Linux and also Windows, and there's a FAQ on it as available as well. And one thing it does say, it is kind of memory hungry, and because you're going to be running multiple instances of certain processes that are running on within your overhead in the memory of your operating system. So your memory consumption is going to increase by 50 to 75%. But is it really important with the amount of memory we have today in our machines? And so this is kind of an interesting deal. I'll have a link up to it. This was via ZDNet. And I've heard a little bit about this in the past, so we'll see what happens, what type of pickup this actual application does, and I may get it and try running it on a test machine here too as well. Apparently, over the weekend, Gmail had a security vulnerability which Google patched very, very quickly. But what was going on was that any website that was running some rogue code would give a site owner access to the visitor's entire Gmail contact list without warning. So, you know, you surf to a site. If you had Gmail open in a separate window, this application or this code could actually go ahead and suck down the contacts, your contact list. So that's not a good thing, and would open people up to spamming and any other type of vulnerabilities through, you know, getting a hold of email accounts that maybe did not want to be distributed. As you know, I'm sure all of you have one or two email accounts that you share only with your closest friends so that you can keep those spam free. But anyways, nice to see Google got this patched up really quick. Took them two tries, but it appears to be all fixed now. All right, remember we were talking about last week with part of the performancing company getting bought up by the PaperPost folks. Well, they've changed the name of the performancing blogging application. It's been renamed to Scribefire, and this is part of the, you know, because the performancing did not sell this portion to the PaperPost people. So if you use a Firefox blog, you can rest assured now that you still be able to utilize the application, and it's not going to be in any way associated with the PaperPost folks. All right, if you remember in the last show, I discussed how it had been reported that the HD DVD encryption system had been broke. Now, this has got a lot of press, a lot of the different hacker sites, even the folks at DEF CON have weighed in on this. Some are speculating and saying, hey, it wasn't that big of a deal. What he did was using an exploit that he found within an application. You know, there was just all kinds of discussion that's going on about this hack, but let's face it. he was able to play the high def the high def DVD when he wasn't at all supposed to be able to. So, make a long story short, the folks behind the AACS system, which by circumstance was developed by companies that include Disney, Intel, Microsoft, Sony. They're actually, someone within that organization is going to look into the hack. There was a comment made by Jeff Moss. He's an organizer of DEF CON. He said that in an interview of the guy that had created the hack, that he appeared to have found a real breach in the encryption system. So I'm sure these folks at DEF CON are going to dig into this thing a little deeper. But what's interesting is it wasn't that hard. So this just goes to prove, and this is kind of my personal opinion here, is that, you know, all this DRM that these companies are trying to lock us into, it's just a matter of time before people find workarounds. And they don't want to deal when being burdened with all this DRM. You look at the sheer idiocy that was put upon, you know, look at the Zune. You go to the Zune marketplace, you buy a track off the Zune marketplace, you download it into your computer within the Zune player or Zune software interface, and it gets synced onto your Zune. Well, before, you weren't going to be able to even play that on any other media player within Windows itself. But now it turns out you're going to be able to do it on Windows Media Player. But still, you can't have that track that you have legally bought go on to another device that you own. Well, hopefully Microsoft is going to wake up and smell the roses and fix that so that you'll be able to do that. But I'm not holding my breath that that's actually going to be the case. But people are going to find workarounds. And at some point when Vista gets out and a lot of people are using it and the hackers put their time towards it, you can be guaranteed that people are going to find workarounds for any of this media that they're buying. And I think it's only fair that if you buy something, you should be able to use it any way you want within the constraints of, you know, you don't want to share it with someone. You want to be able to, you know, use it legally. You shouldn't be restricted from one device in being able to enjoy the content that you've purchased. So this is going to be tested even more. There's going to be tools that are going to be coming out that's going to go after Blu-ray. It's going to be tools that are going to be going after HD DVD that you're going to find they're going to be available on the net. People just want to be able to get backups, and they want to be able to watch that media wherever they want or however they want and not have to have a card in their system that has got this HD stamp of approval in order to play it as well. I found don't know what this has to be, but this has got to be some sort of a protest check that this guy wrote. This guy by the name of Randall Monroe, he wrote a check on December 9th to Verizon Communications, and this is what the the check says. Paid to the order of Verizon Communications to the order of 0.002 plus E to the 197th. Wait till you see this. I don't know what his plan here was, but let's see if they're able to actually. Now, first of all, I'll get a geek on here. Some of you that are good at math, go ahead and look at this and tell me how much this check was for and whether or not the bank will actually accept that. It did come out to a certain amount of money, so I think you'll get a good laugh out of this. And whether or not the bank takes it will be another story. there's been some reports that the Google Gmail storage capacity has stopped increasing at 2800 megabytes, or 2.8 gigs. What are you guys seeing on your Gmail accounts? Okay, those of you that are Apple users, I've got a good link for you today that's got a list of applications that are small but powerful applications. Just to run down the list here a little bit, Sizzling Keys, Quicksilver, Mira, Growl, X Slimmer, Little Snitch, Paparazzi, Unrar X, some cool little applications. I think you'll get some good use out of them, and link will be up in the show notes. All right, it's been reported that some United workers out of O'Hare saw a UFO. This apparently went down a couple weeks ago. And a lot of people saw it, and I guess it was pretty amazing from what the reports are. And there's some rumors that there's some video on it. Have not seen the actual video yet, but they've got the interviews online here at the ChicagoTribune.com website. This article came out today. But a bunch of people saw this thing, and they said it hung out for a little bit. But when it took off, now it was above, those of you that fly out of O'Hare, when you get out to the sea concourse, if you're out at near Gate Charlie 17, you'll definitely want to hang out by the windows and look out, because this is where this event took place. But it was an overcast day, and boy, this gave me chills talking about it. But apparently this thing came out and below the clouds, hung out for a little bit. And when it departed the scene, it did with such force that left a hole through the cloud deck. Pretty cool, huh? All right, link will be up in the show notes. How many of you, we may have to at some point tell my UFO stories again. It's been a little while. We got some new listeners on the show. And if you go back and if you actually just go to the website and search and listen to those older shows, you actually hear my UFO stories as well. No abductions, no abductions. All right, you know, with identity theft on the rise here, here are 13 easy ways to safeguard your privacy in 2007. Number one, don't use your middle initial. Number two, get a non-published telephone number. Number three, get a post office box and use it. Number four, and that's not as easy as doing that. Many places now, if you've got a regular home delivery mailbox, many post offices today will not allow you to get an actual P.O. box. Now, if you've got a business, you might be able to do that, but some post offices are being real picky on whether or not you get a P.O. box or not. And it's also got some restrictions on what can be delivered there as well. So if you have bills coming to that or a credit card bill, many companies will no longer allow you to, when you order something, put a P.O. box on an actual order. Number four, print only your name and address on your checks. Leave your ID numbers off. Who's using checks anymore? I haven't used a check. I did not use a single, well, actually, I wrote checks for the podcast awards, but personally, on personal checks, I have written no personal checks in the year 2006. I did everything through share check cards and also collected points. That's a great thing. Visa cards that give you airline points, as long as you pay the bill off every month, that's just such an easy way to get airline tickets. Number five, disable the RFID chip in your passport. Well, I'm not going to guarantee this here. They're recommending you strike it with a hammer. But if you're caught at customs and can't go through, do not blame me. All right, moving down the list here, using prepaid calling cards. Also, avoid filling change of address orders with USPS. I don't know about that. I know that there's some reasoning in here. I'll let you guys read it. Obviously, do not give your social security number out to safeguard your personal information. Well, duh, everyone should do that now. Call the one call opt-out number, and that's probably one of the better calls that you can make. Use a private phone to protect privacy in online auctions, and opt out of databases of many online data vendors. So link will be up in the show notes on this. You know, some of these are probably great. Some of these probably got medium impact, but you can check it out. All right, about.com came out with a list of the top 35 torrent sites for 2006. Link to that will be up in the show notes. So if you are a BitTorrent user, this may be of interest to you. All right, there's a great list of predictions of what's going to be announced at Macworld over at tuaw.com. Link will be up in the show notes on that. That's the unofficial Apple weblog. Game Oldies, this is a very, very cool site. There's literally thousands of games that you can now play via your web browser online. These are games that many of you are very familiar with. 1943 is one. I'm sure many of you played that before. All kinds of different games that were once being, you had to pay a lot of money for, are now available to be played online. A very extensive list on this, and I'm sure there's probably multiple hours of time that you could waste on that website. All right, last article tonight has a link to an astronomy shop that's pretty amazing. Will make a great background for your desktop. I will let you take a peek at it yourself. And I'm kind of doing like this, changing my background on my desktop on a weekly basis. So it just kind of spices things up. And this one may hang out for a little bit, but this is a very, very cool shot. I think you'll find it as amazing as I did. All right, I've got a single audio comment that came in via email. Let me go ahead and launch this here.
Hello, Todd. This is Tracy Taylor. Thank you so much for making Christmas come early in my house. The GoDaddy gift certificate got here a week or so before in the email, and then on Friday morning, the Moby Blue B153 player showed up.
Beautiful.
I really love the player, and I just really want to thank you so much for that stuff. It's just so cool. You know, the player having Podcast Ready installed was an extra treat because I hadn't tried it before, and it really does make it easy. Once I got the link set up, it was just a breeze to download the podcast. Just plug it in and click the button, and it just does the job for you, and I really like it. And, you know, thanks so much for the 2006 for all the hard work, especially during the difficult times. The first show I heard was Painful Show 200, and difficult being the understatement of the year on that one. I can't imagine how hard it must have been to get through that and the death of your father. And it just shows that you're really dedicated to GNC and making this stuff happen, and I really appreciate that. I'm looking forward to a great 2007, especially you and Andy covering CES. Thanks again for everything, and keep it up, man. It's truly a blessing. Bye.
Hey, Tracy. Thanks for the kind comments. It's definitely appreciated. I'm glad you love the MP3 player. And you know what's kind of, here's a little secret for you. You know, I got this, I told you I had a Moby Blue here sitting on the desk, right? Well, there's one still sitting here on the desk. I actually ordered you a brand new one because when I got into it, I found that my son had gotten a little MP3 player. And he had come in here and hijacked some stuff out of the box, and I couldn't find all of the parts. So I still have this thing sitting here. I didn't want to send you a partial kit. That wouldn't have been cool. So I have my son still on the hunt to find out the stuff that he hijacked out of there, and hopefully I can make that kit whole again. If you get a chance, take a picture of everything that was in there, because I may have to buy something and I'll end up have to give this thing away again. So, hey, thanks for that. I do appreciate it. I tell you what, 2007 is going to be a great year. You know, I was kind of sitting down and planning out everything that's going to happen this year. And this is kind of a critical year for me, decision point wise. With my regular day job as well, I've got some critical decisions to make in about April, and I'll probably be sharing some of that with all of you later. Nothing's changing here. Everything's still moving forward as normal, but it may be time to have a change in profession and hopefully going full-time on the podcast and blogging space. I guess it all depends on what's going to be happening here in the forthcoming months. But we can't talk about very much of that, but more of that coming later, of course. Hey, JP, I want to thanks for that link to that Inquirer article on the craziness of the Windows stuff. Got an email from Neer. He said, hey, he wrote to asking whether there's any advantage to go to meeting. Oh, talked to that about that already. And he said, hey, I found your show statistics very interesting. How about asking your listeners to send you info or vote somewhere on your site on where in the world they are? I think the geographical spread would be most interesting. You know, I've got one of those maps. I think it's a is it called Frapper? I've got one of those somewhere. Let me dig that out. And boy, where are you at? +972. I'm going to have to look that up in my little international phone book. But hey, thanks for that, Neer. Thanks for that comment. And I'll have to get that link back up on the podcast page as well. I do appreciate the comments. He got an email from Jeff. He says, hey, Todd, as always, great show. One of my top three podcasts. I think you got some talent in your hands. What a nice surprise to end up show by and keep up the great work and be certain to express to the children the smiles they brought to my face with the ending of this podcast. Simply loved it. Oh, it'd be so nice to include some more singing soon. Keep it up the great work, Jeff. Hey, appreciate it. You know, the kids really, I kind of went downstairs. And I told them in the garage, you guys want to be on the show tonight? And they kind of like, I don't know. I said, well, you guys can sing anything you want, and you guys pick it out and come on up. And that's kind of what they did. So I had heard the song before. They had played it before. And so they practiced like one. They did one take here in the office before because I stopped recording. I got everything set up. They did one test, you know, basically testing levels, and I had them do it. Turned out pretty good as well. Already got an email from Chris. He says, hey, guys, I was wondering if you might have a chance to check out the new single from my band called Once Just. You can download it at, he gives me a link here at justrocks.net /radio.cfm. Would really like to know what you think. I'll definitely check that out, Chris. I'll put a link up to it in the show notes. Got an email from Bob. He says, Todd, Don McAllister is doing some screencasting on a Mac here at www.screencastonline.com. He's got an interview with Scoble by Paul Culligan. And in a Scoble interview, Don says he's been using the Snap Pro X by Ambrosia, but has recently changed to I Show You by Shiny White Box. Now, I tell you what, Bob, I have two or three emails from some other guys saying, hey, go try out Snap Pro X by Ambrosia. Now, I went ahead and I paid for the software, $69, or I guess is what the price was. I got it installed, not impressed. I'm really, really not impressed with the software. I've used some of the Ambrosia software products before. I actually reviewed one of their products when I was writing my podcasting book, and overall I was pretty impressed with it, but I'm going to have to check out this I Show You, and he says that he changed because it has a universal binary, it's lightning fast, and it's $20. Man, what a great deal. I wish I'd have got this email sooner, but thanks for the link. I'll be definitely checking that out, but probably two good offerings as well. I just have to probably play around with the Snap Pro X a little bit more. Got an email from Sam. He says, hey, I was listening to GNC number 228 on my Zune. Yes, I have a Zune. And I noticed that while you were talking about all of MP3, the show suddenly cut off. It must be some conspiracy there, Sam. What's up with that? I'd like to hear if any other listeners had this problem. Have not heard anything back about that yet, Sam. Check your on your PC. Will you check and see if the copy you got on your PC was the complete size? Or actually the complete show. I'd like to hear some feedback on you on that if you got a partial download. If anyone else does not, if they think the show's cut off, I really need to hear from you. I really, really do. All right, I got an email from Scott. He says, there's an open source PVR HD record head that he heard about on InDigital. It's Dolby's InDigital Home Theater Showdown. Will Wheaton was showing it off. Yes, the one from Star Trek. Love the show. Talk care. Now, we're going to be in the Dolby booth. I've actually been corresponding with a person at Dolby for the Consumer Electronics Show, and him and I have probably shared the most email of any of the CES vendors. We are definitely going to be in the Dolby booth, and I'll be asking him about this. Maybe we can get some video on this during the Consumer Electronics Show. All right, the last email of the night is from a long-term listener, Bree. She sent me an email saying, hey, let me add to the email to the thousands I'm sure you'll get. It wasn't thousands, Bree. I think everyone's still on holiday. Email load's actually been a little light to last show, which is actually good on my inbox. She says, the kids were great. We want more of them. Thanks for being a long-term listener, Bree. We'll definitely have them back on. Don't know how often. Sometimes the recording schedule just does not match up, but maybe I'll get him in here early someday and do something as well. All right, I'm finishing record time, and it's surprising that we actually had enough content to get this far tonight. It is late. I mean, it is late here. I'm hanging on by a thread. I've had two glasses of iced tea on the desk. They are both empty, and it's going to be a struggle to get the show out without falling asleep in the chair here, but I don't have nothing to do tomorrow, so what's the big deal, right? All right, folks, as always, send your voicemail comments to the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Now get those numbers, put in your cell phones, because there's going to be a lot of hot action coming out of CES. So again, 619-342-7365. And, of course, you can always send comments to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Now, just a little bit of info on what's going to happen this next week. Thursday night, I'll be doing a normal show. I'll be in your inboxes, or actually in your being downloaded into your media players Friday morning. Friday evening, I fly out of Honolulu, get into Vegas very early Saturday morning and beg and plead with the Monte Carlo to try to get me checked in early, if at all possible, because come Saturday afternoon, we have a press-only event at the convention center that we're going to be involved with. And so we're going to probably start our coverage Saturday evening, I would imagine. All depends on what comes out of that event. And then Sunday, there's more of the same. There's some keynotes going on. And then, of course, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, full-blown coverage each day. There will be a joint video cast with Annie McCaskey and myself produced each day. Then I'll also do an audio podcast. So you're going to get two downloads a day. You're going to get the video podcast and the audio podcast delivered to your iPod or your media player. The postings will also be up on the website so that you'll be able to watch via the website if you want to, the actual video cast. Video cast will be short, 5 to 10 minutes maximum on size on the video cast. The podcast could be an hour because what I'm going to be doing is I'll do a very short introduction to the show. There won't be 15 minutes of admin stuff. That won't be happening. We'll be 3 or 4 minutes of covering highlights during the day, and boom, I'll go right into interviews, and it'll be back-to-back interviews with different vendors. Now, I may have to interject and add some stuff into to, you know, give you some background information on each interview, but I'm hoping that I've learned enough on the process we did last year where I'll build that in when we're actually doing the interview so that I can just go boom, 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 and you'll get a whole bunch of content in a hurry. And then links to the vendors will all be in the show notes as usual. And last year we had a problem with a few vendors we didn't get links to. And so that'll come up on the podcast each night. Now expect that to essentially you will probably get the first podcast on maybe Monday morning or Tuesday morning. It all depends on when we do the first audio bit. But there's going to be a lot of content you'll want to listen. A lot of it's going to be relevant, exciting things coming out of the show, stuff that we find. And again, we want your help. If you'll help us virally spread the content for CES, really help put the podcasting stuff on the map and to show a lot of these media people and also these vendors the power in podcasting and how we can really reach out and touch some people. Now, last year, the show had some amazing reach. It really, really did. And we only essentially made a decision last year to go to the show about a week before the actual show. So we've had a lot more time to prep. A lot of our processes that we're going to be doing are a lot more streamlined and should be proved to be very interesting. Now, Javon Padiyar is coming out from New York. He is going to be my cameraman. He's going to be with me during the show so that he can film me where I don't have to worry about juggling a camera and all this other gear. He's going to be handling that. And we're going to be doing a little business on the side for Raw Voice as well at the same time that we're out there doing shows. So we're really, really excited. I hope that you are. I'm really stoked about going. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And who knows, maybe be able to get on the table a few times. Maybe I'll be able to do that Friday after the show's done. Because, you know, what's the use of going to Vegas if you can't gamble just a little bit? All right, folks, I'm going to get off in here. Look at this. I stretched it out to 1 hour and 7 minutes. But take care. Everyone have a great day. Again, Happy New Year and a most prosperous one to all of you this forthcoming year. Take care. Aloha.